Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3, we talked about last week, Moses seeing the burning bush and God's call to him. God says to Moses, basically, I've heard the cries of my people. I've seen their affliction and the situation they're in, and I've come to deliver them. And by the way, Moses, you're the one that's going to lead them out of that situation. And then we saw Moses, verse 11, Moses said unto God, who, me? Who am I that I should be the one? I can't do that. And Moses begins his, we'll see several excuses that Moses comes up with. And we talked about how many times we do the same thing. God desires us to do something, but we come up with excuses. So we'll continue on. God says, verse 12, I will certainly be with you, which in itself should be enough for Moses, right? God is with us. Who can be against us? And then, obviously, we have to turn the mirror back on ourselves and say, well, I know God is with me as well, but I fail many times because I don't trust that or believe that or realize that. And then Moses says, okay, if I go, they're not going to believe me. I need to tell them who sent me. And so God says, tell them that I am has sent you. And that should take care of that. So we're down to about verse 15. And God says, moreover, unto Moses. So God doesn't stop at that point. Moses has come up with a couple excuses, or maybe you can, well, we'll get into that in a minute. Questions, some things he needs. And God, in his grace, goes on to give Moses more than just that. What does he say? He says, and God said, moreover, unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever. This is my memorial or promise unto all generations. So first off, God says, okay, this is the name you're going to give them. I am, hath sent me. And then he goes on to tell Moses who he needs to talk to. Talk to the children of Israel. Talk to the Hebrews there. And this is what you need to tell them. So not only does he give them who he needs to talk to, but he gives them what he's supposed to say to them. Moses' objection is later on, you know, I can't speak. Well, God tells him who to go to, and he even tells him what to tell them at this point. And he continues on, verse 19, go and gather the elders of Israel and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and even that which is done to you in Egypt. In other words, God sees what's going on. He came to me, and I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt into the land, or unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, a fertile land. So God gives to Moses another group of people that he's supposed to go see. He doesn't have to wander back into Egypt and not know who to talk to or what to say. He tells them, go to these people, tell them this. Go to this, the elders, bring them together and tell them this. Verse 18, and they shall hearken or, excuse me, listen or hear or heed, all those apply to thy voice. God goes even farther with Moses and says, they're going to listen to you. So he even knows the outcome. God tells him that. And then he says, hearken unto thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. So here's somebody else that you need to go see when you go back to Egypt. You go see Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Well, what do I say? God tells him right here. He said, and you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord. And God continues on. What's he say next? He says, and I am sure that the king of Egypt, what? Will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. God tells Moses, think of this from Moses' point of view. He's saying, who, me? I can't do that. And God says, this is who you go see. This is what you tell them. I'm even going to tell you Pharaoh's response ahead of time so you're not caught off guard. So all of a sudden, now what do I do? He didn't say yes. I already know he's not going to say yes. I know Pharaoh is not going to say yes. It says even by a mighty hand, even by anything that man can do, Pharaoh is not going to say, yes, you can go. You notice the request is what? We want to go 3 days' journey. It doesn't say anything about leaving Egypt completely, but just 3 days' journey so that we can what? Set up camp and move? No, just to worship. And even at that, Pharaoh is going to say, a simple request. We just want to go to church. You know, we just want to pack up and go out in the wilderness, be here by ourselves, and worship. And Pharaoh's going to say no to that to show Moses the extent. But God continues and says to Moses, verse 20, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. God says to Moses, it's not going to work when you go tell him the first time, but I will deal with him. And in the end, what's going to happen?
You're going to succeed.
Man, God's laying the whole plan out to Moses right here. Everything, their reaction, what's going to happen, you're going to succeed at the end. And he goes even farther than that. The next verse. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Whoa, stop there a minute. Right now, what position are they in? They're in bondage. They're slaves. Who is not in favor, or who is not looked upon with favor in the eyes of the Egyptians? The Israelites, right? Right now, they're just slaves. Down here. You're down here. You're nothing. You're just a slave. Just go do what you got to do. Yet God says, I'm going to change their hearts. They're going to gain favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And by the way, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go out empty. Now what's God going to do? Well, all we got as slaves is, you know, our little bit of stuff. And God says, nope, you're not going to go out empty either. He says to Moses, verse 22, but every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver, jewels of gold, raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall what? You're going to spoil Egypt. God is going to flip-flop the circumstances here like only he can do. And when you walk out of Egypt, and that's going to happen, you're going to walk out with all the spoils of Egypt.
All the wealth of Egypt, that's quite a promise.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Does this word borrow mean something different than how we use it?
I didn't look up that word. But I will and let you know. it's not like you're going to give it back later on. But I will look up that word and let you know. So God gives Moses the entire plan, lays out the whole thing. and says, "There, Moses, you asked me, I told you I would be with you. You said, who am I to go? You said, I need a name to tell them. I've given you a name, and I've laid out the entire plan for you." Once we hit chapter 4, we'll see what Moses' response was. Yeah. Yeah.
He killed one of the soldiers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's seen it all since he got there. And now God says this.
Yeah.
I mean, it had to blow his mind.
Yeah. God has given him everything that's going to happen. Wouldn't it be nice? Isn't it nice when, say, your employer gives you a job to do and says, this is what I want to do, this, and this. This is how that's going to turn out. This is how it's going to be in the end. So there's no questions. There's no wondering what's going to go on.
On that borrow, my Bible has us go to Exodus 11:2, and it says borrow there, but in the side it says, it means ask.
Ask, okay. There you go. I'm going to ask, and they're going to give it to me. Hey, can I have all your jewelry? Sure. When's that going to happen? Yeah.
I looked up a Bible commentary online. I've not heard of it, but anyway, it says ask also.
Yeah.
But the commentary says asking for presents is a common practice in the East.
Oh, okay.
And the people were urgent on them to be gone, neither expecting nor wishing to see them again.
There you go.
So
okay.
I
Yeah, yeah, more like, probably you're right, more like ask. You know, I'm going to ask you of these and you're going to be willing to give them to me, which in the condition they were in now would never happen, right? Go ahead.
Perhaps it was just within that culture.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to give you something to get
get you out of here. Yeah. Well, we know that that's how it turns out. as we look at this list here and we see Moses has given a job to do, and God lays out everything for him. Have you ever wondered in your life, like, what's the next step? What does God want me to do? What's God's will for me? Sure, we do, yep. And you look at this and you say, I would have liked that job. I mean, I know what the requirements are. I know who I have to talk to. I know what I have to say. I know what their response is going to be. I know that it's going to be successful in the end. I know that not only is it going to be successful, but we'll walk out of there with all the riches and all the wealth of Egypt. I'll sign up for that one. Like God has given Moses a job here to do, and we'll see what Moses' response was, God has given us a job to do as well, right? And like I asked, sometimes we wonder, what next, God? Has God told us who we're supposed to go see? Hasn't he? Okay, we're supposed to go to the world, and has he told us what we're supposed to say? Maybe not word for word, but we know what we're supposed to tell him, right? There were several groups of people that he's supposed to go to. God says not only are we to go to the world and give them his gospel, but we're supposed to go to one another, right? Do we have a job to do as believers to one another? Yeah. God says we're supposed to encourage and uplift and come alongside and help to edify in the faith. All that things, God's given us a job to do. And he's not give us the specific words, but he's told us what we're supposed to say, that we're supposed to encourage one another. he's even told us the results, hasn't he? If you stop and think about it, Scripture says some will believe, some won't believe. Some are even going to persecute you for what you say. Okay, so I already know the results, right? They might not always be good results, but I know the results. Yet we look at this and we say, boy, it'd be nice to have everything laid out. Has God told us what's going to happen in the end? Sure has. Yet we continue to what? Question, don't we? Yep, and doubt. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we're talking about, is not knowing, and we don't know who's going to accept Christ or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we just do it faithfully.
Yep.
And then the Jews, they never thought they were going to get out of Egypt.
Yep.
I would assume.
Well, they did know at some point that God had promised the descendants of Abraham. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm not disputing that.
Yeah.
Because it's the story of Christianity, in a sense. You go through struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You're humiliated. But there's a
purpose.
There's a real reward.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's kind of what I'm seeing here.
Yeah. Yep. We go through those struggles as well. We talked about that last week. Yep. So let's see what Moses' response was. We know what our response is. Sometimes it's right, sometimes it's wrong. Moses says, Moses answered and said, but, oh boy, there's a word, but. But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto you.
Sounds so human.
Really?
Sounds so much like us.
Yep. You know, if I do that, Lord, they're not going to listen anyhow, so I might as well just not bother, right? So we see Moses' third excuse or question here. You know what? If I go, they're not going to believe me. I know you told me the results, especially after all this list of things that God has given to Moses, the entire plan and even the outcome. He still says, but they're not going to listen to me. they're not going to believe me. So he's kind of moved from, you know, you could say, okay, let's give Moses the benefit of the doubt. You could say, okay, the first one, really, he's surprised. Who, me? You want me to go? That could be, maybe Moses is humble. Maybe he's just making excuses, but give him the benefit of the doubt. He's saying, who, me? Really? You want me to go? And God assures him, yes, I will be with you. And then Moses says, well, I need a name. I need to tell them who sent me. So you could say, possibly, that was a reasonable request. But after God has given Moses the entire plan and even the outcome, Moses has gone from possibly a reasonable question or information that he would need to unreasonable objection here. I know, God, you've told me everything I need to do, and I know that this is going to work out in the end, and it's going to be successful, and you're going to bring the people out of Egypt. But, there, see that word but again. You ever use that word? Yeah, I know, God, you want me to do that, but they're not going to listen. Moses didn't know that. Now he's just coming up with unreasonable excuses and basically saying that, God, you don't know what you're talking about, right? Right? Isn't that what he's saying? They're not going to listen to me. You don't know what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. After all God's told him, he says, they're not going to believe me. And the Lord says unto Moses, what's in your hand? And he says, a rod. And verse 3, and he said, God says to him, cast it on the ground, and he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. I know somebody in here that if there was a serpent on the ground, she'd be in Brighton before you could get to your car in the parking lot. I'm sure she knows who I'm talking about. And probably others of you as well.
Now he's sorry he was questioning.
So he fled as well. He was startled by what happened. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth your hand and take up the tail. Well, if Moses fled from in front or from the face of the serpent to begin with, now he's got to muster some kind of courage to bend down and take it by the tail. But he does. And and he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod again. And why did God do this? Well, let's see. The next verse says, that they may believe.
That was Moses' objection.
Yeah.
Suppose they don't believe.
Yes. Okay. I will give you something that will help them believe. I will give you this, you might say, object lesson or sign of authenticity that you are who you say you are, that who you says has sent you. I'll give you this sign. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore, Moses, I'm going to pile them up on you. Here you go. Put out thine hand, or put now thine hand into thy bosom, and brothers, put it in your coat. I can't get it in my shirt here, but put it in your coat. And when he took it out, his hand was leprous as snow. Put your hand in your coat, pull it out, and it's covered with leprosy. They knew what that was. And they knew it's not like, oh, there's baby powder in my coat. Shake it around there quick, like a magician, you know. Oh, it's white. No, it was covered with leprosy, and they would see that. And put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom. Oh, by the way, what do you think Moses thought when he pulled out his hand and it was covered with leprosy?
I wish I
wasn't
so plain.
Yeah.
Because now I've got this dreaded
disease. Excuse me. Yeah. I wish I had been not so quick with the excuses, because now my hand is covered with leprosy. Says, put thine hand in thy bosom again, and he put it into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Whew. Moses is wiping the sweat off his brow from that one. God says, I've given you a second sign, a second object lesson to share with them, that they will believe that I am who I said I am and that you are who you say you are. And it shall come to pass if they will not believe, if they won't, again, Moses, I'm answering your objections, if they won't believe that, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. In other words, if they don't listen to the first two that have to do with you personally, that they will believe the voice of the later sign. In other words, I'm going to give you another one. And if the first two don't work, this one will. And what's this last one? And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto the voice, that thou shalt take the water out of the river. We understand that, right? Take water out of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Okay, Moses, I've given you three resources, three things that you can do to help the Israelites believe the authenticity of your message and who sent you. That should calm Moses' objections, right? Right? Sure, I got three signs that I can present to the people to convince that and I'm what do they call that when you want a sign? Provenance. You know, here's my sign of authenticity. Here's my, to prove. Boy, oh boy. And Moses said unto the Lord, oops, I'm sorry. Yeah, and Moses said, verse 10, unto the Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore, or neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow or heavy of tongue. Yep.
There you go.
I'll agree. Speech class when I was in school, high school and college, that was the last thing that I wanted to do, was stand in front of a bunch of people looking at me and me have to come up with something to say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. How much eloquence does it take to say, this is what God told me to say? God said, the Lord, your God of your fathers, a lot of, you know, he's already told him what to say. He doesn't have to come up with a speech on his own. He doesn't have to wonder what to say. God has already told him what to say. Yet he says, I can't talk.
And even knows the outcome.
Yeah, and even know the outcome. By the way, where was Moses raised? From about 3 years old till the time he was 40? In Pharaoh's house. In the best schools in the land, right? What's prominent among prominent schools? The ability to speak and eloquently convince people of things. That's what he would have learned, right? Yet he says, okay, so there has to be people at the top of the class and people at the bottom of the class. So even if he flunked or didn't, at least he was in the class and would know what it would take, right? At least he learned something. Yet his objection is, again, God, you don't know what you're talking about. I can't say those words. I can't speak. I can't get up in front of people and orate a message, even though you've told me exactly what I'm supposed to say. So.
Talking to God like that versus having to talk to people that he's lived with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, there's the buzzer. I knew it was coming. And we look at Moses and say, you dummy, what are you doing? But if you stop and think, what do we do many times?
Same thing.
Yeah. When God says, I have something I want you to do, and you say, not me, and we come up with excuses.
That's why that verse, these things are written for our...
Yep, exactly. Okay, we'll continue on with this next week. Lord bless you this morning. We're dismissed.